He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. And because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone, because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy He gives, but greater still the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days, because He lives, and because He lives, I can face tomorrow. All fear is gone, because I know He holds the future, and life is worth.
Oh, that's a beautiful song with a message.
Because He lives, and then one day,
hallelujah,
I'll cross that river. I'll fight life's final war with pain.
Gives
way to victory. I'll see the light of glory, and I'll know He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow.
Hallelujah.
Because He
future.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
And life is worth the living just because He lives.
Hallelujah.
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow.
Hallelujah.
Because He lives.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Verse
when you get
that.
Your heart ready for whatever the Holy Ghost would say to us today, I want to hear from God. I want to hear from the Lord. I want to hear from the mighty moving of the sweet Holy Ghost. I want every person in this building to be altered this morning and to be changed, to never be the same again. The book of Acts chapter 4 is a great statement that I want you to hear and allow it to really register in your heart. I'll read about three verses before I come to that powerful verse. Listen carefully. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. The building shook. The building shook. Did you hear me? The place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled with the Holy Ghost. And spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. And the multitudes of them that believe were of one heart and one soul. Listen now, very important. One heart, one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. I mean, they were just united in a kind of unity that's unknown in our today's world. Until the whole family of the church was of one accord, one faith, one belief, had everything common. And notice this, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And here's the text. And great grace was upon them all. And great grace was upon them all. Now I want to read one more verse. If you'll turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah. I want to read you one verse. The 9th chapter of Jeremiah. And it's verse 1. The 9th chapter of Jeremiah, verse 1. Wonderful verse of scripture. I love it so dearly. I love it specially. Especially. Oh, that my heart were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughters of my people. Now I want to preach this morning a sermon with the same name as a sermon I preached last Sunday night in Danville, but a different sermon. I want to preach on the gift of tears. The gift of tears. The gift of weeping. I think you have the same burden that I do for a Holy Ghost revival. And I think you understand that there's something yet that we need to do for that revival to break forth. I think we're close, but we're not there. And I believe this message is uniquely given to us of the Lord to help us get a vision of what we, by the grace of God, must do. Now, I want you to notice that in the book of Acts, I read to you, and great grace was upon them all. How many of you know what grace is? Grace is the good favor of God toward you, and the good grace of God within you. It is God's favor and God's love and God's blessing flowing to you and through you. God never pours out a blessing just to enhance you. He pours out a blessing to flow through you. He wants you to be a channel. He wants you to be a vessel. He wants you to be a sanctuary where His wonder can visit and move. And so I'm preaching on the gift of tears. And I'm warning you at the beginning of the sermon that these gifts of tears are not the production of flesh. They are the work of the Holy Ghost. They are the grace of the Spirit of God flowing through you. It is the action of heaven in a human life. The action of heaven upon a human vessel. The action of heaven flowing out of a dedicated life. Understand? The gift of tears. Father, help me this morning that truth will flow like a river. That the Holy Ghost will take hold of these lips and our ears and bring us all together to hear something from heaven. I claim it, Father, in Jesus' name and amen. And you may be seated. You may be seated. Oh, hallelujah. The gift of tears. How many of us love to get a gift? Love it when somebody does something nice for you. Brings you a present. If you're like me, you want the present to be responsible. You want it to be small. You don't want some big thing heaped upon you. You want to enjoy a little blessing from somebody that loves you. And you could care less about somebody overdoing their blessing on you because it feels like it comes with a price. It feels like it comes with a responsibility. If I as a pastor would ever allow myself to go among my people and allow you to do great big things over me and for me and to me, I would begin to wonder if I've got the right then to stand up here and give you the truth straight as an arrow. Straight from my heart. A pastor has no special folks that he takes under his wings. He loves everybody equally. He loves everybody with a passion, with a love. So he wants his gifts to be reasonable. He wants his gift to be very kind, as I say to people often. If they take me to lunch, that's wonderful. I love it. The next time I take you, I will not allow myself otherwise to be. And I think that's reasonable. God made me that way a long time ago. And I'm trying to always live by it because it's important. I want you to see what I'm saying. I'm talking about the gift of tears that comes by the Spirit of God and pours through you as a grace from heaven. And then it waters every garden where your life may be. It waters every place where you may go. It waters everything that comes out of your life because it is a gift of tears that comes by the Holy Ghost. Am I making sense? Let me see your hand if I'm making sense. I'm trying to lay the foundation here for a very important message. God has a job for every one of you. God has a calling for every one of your life. God has a responsibility to give every one of you, each of you. It's a grave and a great and a wonderful responsibility. And it comes by grace. It comes by grace. And then as the grace flows through you, it waters the gardens of God everywhere you go. It touches people everywhere you are involved. If you're a singer, your singing touches people as you sing for His glory. If you're a preacher, your preacher touches people as you preach for His glory. If you're a lay teacher, your teaching affects people by the Word of God in everything you do. And from one end of the church to the other, God, by grace, wants to pour through you the wonder of His name. How many of you really can say before the Lord, I want God to use me? I really want Him to use me. Raise it up high. Wave it a little bit, maybe. I want the Lord to see it. I want God to use me. I want to be something special in the family of God. And that's what we see in Acts division 4. When He said that great grace was upon them all. No exception, Brother Marvin. They all were coming under the flow of the grace of God. This of all the things that the Holy Ghost does, there is nothing the Holy Ghost does that is greater than pouring grace through your life. There's no end to that grace. Whether it's a gift of tongues or another gift, whether it's a blessing you do for somebody, everything of your life, He wants grace to flow from you. He wants grace to flow through you. That untouched favor, that indescribable blessedness of the presence of the Holy Ghost. I've seen the humblest of person suddenly be used by the Holy Ghost. I remember one time some years ago, Sister Dot Green, right in the middle of a church service, stood up and God spoke through her. And the things she said were phenomenal and wonderful because grace was flowing through her. Grace was flowing through her. I remember an old Sister Feist in the Burlington church where I was converted would sing in the Holy Ghost. And when she would sing in the Holy Ghost, grace would flood that whole house. Flood that whole house. I remember other saints of God, a good sister out in Oklahoma who sung in the Holy Ghost the last meeting in Brother Gann's church, and it was grace flowing from her lips. It was grace flowing through her life. There is a multitude of ways that grace can flow through you. There's a multitude of ways that God can use you in simple ways, in profound ways, in wise, heavenly wise ways, in ways more simple to somebody's need. God, by the Holy Ghost, wants to pour grace to you. Hallelujah. I don't know whether that is inspiring anybody. You're kind of looking at me. But I wanted to inspire you. I want grace to flow through you. I want you to become a blessing on your job. I want you to become a blessing in your neighborhood. I want you to become a blessing to your kinfolks. I want you to become a blessing to sons and daughters, grandsons and granddaughters, mothers and fathers, uncles and aunts. Grace flowing through you will touch men and women and bring them to Christ. I can assure you there's been many times when an old saint of God did a simple thing and grace was upon their heart and somebody saw it and somebody heard it and it lifted them out of their maguire. It lifted them out of their fears and doubts and people have gotten saved simply because an old saint of God had grace flowing out of their life. Because you couldn't be around them unless something stirred up inside of you. You see, the Holy Ghost is so real that when He fills you and floods you and flows through you, it is a marvelous thing how many ways it can use you for the kingdom of God. Amen? Oh, what a beautiful thing. Now, I want to talk about the gift of weeping. Because there are four graces that make weeping possible in a believer's life. There's four graces from the Holy Ghost that makes a believer a vessel that weeps and weeps for lost souls until they come to Christ, wonderfully converted, wonderfully saved. There's nothing more beautiful than grace flowing through a saint of God. There's nothing more beautiful than grace flowing through a saint of God. I went to see a man on Thursday night in visitation, and it was so beautiful. His son came in, sat down beside me, and I could see how the grace of God just captured that room that I was in. It wasn't Joe Chambers. I'm so nothing. I'm less than something. Really, I believe that with all my heart. Without the grace of God, I'm just a failure. But I want to tell you something. Grace flowing through you can transform somebody's life. They'll never be the same. Now, there's four graces that I want to preach about this morning that lay the foundation for the gift of tears. If all you do is cry crocodile tears, I don't want to see them. I've seen a lot of crocodile tears in my life, and I have no use for them. How many have ever seen people cry a crocodile tear? Let me see your hand. I think everybody here has probably seen that. Somebody crying an old crocodile tear. They're sorry they got caught. They're ashamed that they got caught. They didn't want to be exposed. Or just maybe they're trying to be a spiritual person without the background. They're trying to be a spiritual person without the anointing behind the scene. They're putting on a show. I've seen many of them. The biggest I've ever seen was the wife of Jim Baker, Tammy Faye Baker. She could cry multitude of tears running her mascara and all of her paint down her face and falling on her clothes. And multitudes went crazy over her tears. That was as false can be. Any Holy Ghost filled person could have told that. But so few people in our world live a Holy Ghost filled life. But I'm here to tell you that you can have in your life the gift of tears. But it's going to cost you something. Are you willing? If you knew, now let's take time, a moment here. If you knew that if God could use you with the gift of tears, that your whole family was going to get saved, how many would want God to use you? If you knew if God could use you with the gift of tears, you were going to turn people in your life around and bring them to know Christ and serve God and see miracles. Would you want him to use you? If you knew the person in the world that you love the most would be brought to God, if you could be used by the gift of tears, would you pay the price? Would you make the commitment? Would you make the compromise? Would you do it? Would you? I'm asking you for an answer. I don't expect it this morning. I just want you to answer yourself. Answer God. Are you willing for the gift of tears to possess you? Now, four things. The gift of tears does not come easily. You can try all week to weep and cry when you pray, and it won't happen until you pay the price to get there. You can go and spend the night in prayer and never shed a tear if you've not prepared your heart and allowed the Holy Ghost to get you ready. You can try hard. You can say, Brother Chambers, I love sinners. I want to see them saved, and I want God to use me, but I don't know whether I will ever have the gift of tears. And I'm going to tell you, you probably will not, unless I can convince you this morning that there's four graces that are available in the Holy Ghost. How many of you understand that every grace of heaven is available in the Holy Ghost? How many of you understand everything the Father God, the Father Son would desire to do in your life is done by the Holy Ghost? He is the instrument of God upon your life. The Father's on his throne. The Son is sitting beside him. But God's Holy Ghost is flooding the world with their presence. Hallelujah. God, the Holy Ghost is flooding the world with the presence of the Father and the presence of the Son. And every grace that is in Christ Jesus the Lord and in his crucifixion, every grace that is ours by the resurrection of the Son of God, every grace that is ours by the visitation of God's Holy Spirit is available in your life if you pay the price. All you say is the price heavy? No. God always said that his standards are easy. His standards are not hard. His responsibilities are not some great thing. You know what? The things of God only cost one thing. For you to die. for you to die. Did you know the cross is the only great emblem of the great sacrifice of Jesus Christ? And the reason it's the great emblem of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is because it's empty. It's because it represents death. It's because nobody's hanging on it. It's because nobody's up there nailed to the tree. That person on the tree has died. That person on the tree has gone through the pathway of death. That person on the tree has gone through the valley of the shadow. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you the only real emblem of the mighty Savior and the mighty Christ is a cross of death. A cross of death. Oh, you know what? The older I get, the more I want to die. The older I get, the more I want to die. I was eating with some folks the other day, and I was putting salt on my food. I like a lot of salt. They said, "You're going to kill yourself without salt." I said, "Hallelujah." I reached and grabbed the salt shaker. Give me some more. Give me some more. I'm ready to go. Hallelujah. I was playing with them, of course. I really wasn't meaning that I'm going to try to hurry my death. I'm going to put that in God's hands. I just want His time. But I'm here to tell you that death is the essence of our life of surrender to Jesus Christ. It is dying. It is dying. Joe Chambers is of no value until he's dead. Not a one of us is of value until there's death, Brother Derek. Oh, there's got to be death. And so let's talk about four things that come out of death. And I mentioned all of them last Sunday night. And I'll begin with number one, and it's compassion. One of the greatest gifts of God's grace is compassion. There's nothing that enhances a person's life than when you see them with compassion. There's nothing more powerful than compassion when you really feel the burden and the pain of others. Are you listening? When you really feel, you see somebody suffering and you're hurt. You feel broken. You feel sorrowful. You know, the Bible is so powerful. Let me take you to 1 Peter, if I might. 1 Peter. Let me give you what the Bible says about this wonderful truth. It's in chapter 3 and verse 8. Chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Listen to that. We looked up the word pitiful Wednesday night in our Bible study. And you know what pitiful means? Tender. Tender. That's what it means. Right? It means tender. Be tender. Now listen, let me read it again. Finally, be ye all of one mind. You don't have a right to be your own boss. Brother Chambers, nobody's going to tell me what to do. Well, you need to find you a place to get another kind of religion. Because this kind of religion is a religion that you got to come under authority. You got to come under authority. You got to be subject to those who are over you in the Lord. And that includes me also. You got to understand that. See, so the Bible speaks of compassion as this wonderful trait that makes a man or woman tender to other people. Makes them compassionate of their needs and their burdens. Does anybody ever walk in this building whom you've never seen and don't know, and immediately you feel compassion for them? Now I'm talking about what the grace of God does. Normally, we don't feel a lot of concern for somebody unless we know something about them. We don't feel a lot of concern for somebody unless there's some kin to us. Normally, we don't feel a lot of concern for somebody unless they're special and they do special things for us. That's normal among this whole world of ours. But compassion has no part of that. Compassion has no reason except the grace of God flowing in that life. When the grace of God has taken hold of you, you'll hurt for Sister Latasha just as quickly as you'll hurt for Sister Judy. It will make no difference to you. If it's a new person in our church, like Brother Cyprian, I get it right? Brother Cyprian, I love him to death. This brother over here been said, well, we love you, dear brother. Do you have compassion when you just look around and now don't tell me if you got to make yourself and be careful that you don't lie to yourself, that you really understand that he can fill you with compassion until you just don't meet somebody you don't care about. Oh, God, help us. Compassion. See, there'll never be tears on your cheeks until there's compassion in your heart. How many does that make sense to? Let me see your hand if that makes sense to you. Until there's Holy Ghost compassion. I'm not talking about the little bit we can feel. I've been almost dying this week. I got a little niece. She's actually a great, great niece. She's up in Charlottesville in the hospital. She's got triplets in her womb. My sister Peggy and my niece Tammy, her mother, and then Allison, the great great niece, laying there in the hospital. These little babies, only 26 weeks in her womb, and she's all out of whack, and the body's not acting right, and the doctors are talking about removing them. And I don't know, I've been weeping, but I've been weeping because that's my sister, and that's my niece that I've loved, Tammy, and that's Tammy's little daughter that she's loved, and I love also Allison, and then there's three babies in the fourth generation, right there in one little family in one hospital room, and I've been weeping, but I pray that God will fill me so full of compassion that I can weep for any person hurting, for any need, anybody. Oh, Sister Patsy, we want to care about you. I've seen you one time before, but we're glad to have. I want us to be a church of compassion. How many can say, Holy Ghost, fill me with compassion? Come on, raise your hand way up high. Say it out with me, will you? Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, fill me with compassion. Fill me with compassion. Well, that's good. Oh, trickly so. Raise your worship, God, a moment. At home to be kind. To set out the north. Woo! Hallelujah. But the next grace. These are graces. These are not things you can do. You can't produce them. You can't manufacture them. They come from Him. They come from Him. Compassion comes from Him. You get full of the Holy Ghost and you pray and seek God until you are on the altar to Him and you'll have compassion and won't have to do a thing to have it. You've already done it when you surrender. Amen? But the next one is a word I really love. Empathy. Empathy. You know, I got to studying that word this week. I didn't know this Sunday night. That word is the same word as vicarious. Vicarious. That's what it means. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ was an empathetic event. Empathy possessed him. He hung there on that tree and he looked out at the very people who were putting him to death. And he said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. These were soldiers. These were brute soldiers. Big old Roman legionaries. And they was bull-headed and stubborn as a bulldog. And the Son of God looked out there at them and wept over them and said, Lord, forgive them. They know not what they do. Wasn't long until the two thieves, one on one side, one on the other. One of them began to taunt him. Began to taunt him. If you're the Christ, save yourself and save us. No, that's not Jesus. The other one rebuked the first one. Did you know that? And then he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Son of God, hanging on that cross, his lifeblood draining from his system. He had been beat in an inch of death. He was a wreck. He looked like a wash rag. His skin had been ripped from him until his own skin hang off him like rags. If you could have seen him, you would have closed your eyes. It would have broke your heart. He was dying. He was suffering. He was being bruised and wounded. And I want to tell you something. Those whips that cut his flesh and made his skin hang off like rags was producing grace that right now brings healing to the human body of every believing saint of God, because he was dying vicariously. He was dying empathetically. He was taking your place. He was being a savior in a vicarious manner. He was in your stead. And you say, Jesus wants me to be like that? Uh-huh. Yes, I did. He wants you to be empathetic. He wants you to have empathy. He wants you to look at unsaved people and weep for them and hurt for them. He wants you to feel the pain of people going to hell. Oh, Christ. Can you imagine some precious person whom has been your friend all your life, and suddenly you hear they're dead, and you knew that they had never got right with God? What would you feel? Have you ever had somebody to die that you knew that? I have. I've had so many to die like that. Come on, remember somebody that you loved and they died, and as far as you know, they were never saved. What do you feel when you realize they're in a devil's hell and they're going to be there for eternity? They will be suffering a million years from now. It will just have begun. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, we ought to feel the weight and the pain of a dying multitude going to hell until we almost, Apostle Paul said it. He said, I could wish that I myself would be a curse for my brethren, the Jews. Did you know Paul said that? Did you know Paul said, I'm willing to go to hell for them? I'm willing to go to hell for them? Oh, I don't believe there's anybody in the world I could say I'm willing to go to hell for them. Thank God I don't have to. Thank God I can be empathetic without that extent. And thank God for Paul for saying it. He was certainly making a strong point. But I'm here to tell you, God wants you to feel empathy for the world around you. And the Holy Ghost will put that empathy in you. Hallelujah. Do you want it? Do you want the Holy Ghost to put in you a vicarious emotion that you are absolutely willing to feel the pain and to feel the anger and to feel the darkness of other people's lives? Daniel felt it down in Babylon when he was repenting. He said, Lord, I repent of our sins. I repent of our sins. Now listen to me. You got to hear me. There is a place you can get in the grace of God. Oh, glory. Somebody help me. There's a place you can get in the grace of God where the death of an unsaved person will wound you and leave you sobbing and weeping on your face with God for their soul. Oh, God, help us this morning to have empathy. The Holy Ghost can produce empathy in you. The Holy Ghost can produce empathy in you. The Holy Ghost can help you to feel that vicarious devotion, that vicarious dedication. I want you to go to Philippians 3 and 9. Philippians 3 and 9. I want you to see that in the life of Apostle Paul. It is so beautiful. It overwhelms me every time I've ever read this. I remember years ago when I first read it. It overwhelmed me. Listen, let's read verse 9 of chapter 3 of Philippians. And it says, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his what? Somebody say that out loud. The fellowship of what? The sufferings? He wanted to know the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ. He wanted to feel the fellowship of the Lord's death upon that cross. He wanted to feel the fellowship of the dying Redeemer. He wanted to somehow be in the same vein, the same thought pattern, the same experience as Jesus had borne. He wanted to feel it and bear it. He didn't stop there. You got to listen. You got to listen. Of his suffering. Being made conformable to his death. What? Being made conformable to his death.
His nails are holding his hand. His body is in pain. He's bleeding. He's dying. And Paul said, I want to get right beside him. And I want to feel the fellowship of his death. I want to be conformable, he said, to his death.
Are you willing to die like that? Oh, there's so little of that in the church world today. And you say, where is the revival of yesteryear? Exactly where I'm preaching right now is where the revivals are of yesteryear. You don't believe it, you go read those old men. You go read those old women. You go read I believe it was Susan, the mother of the Methodist founder. Susan, I can't say her last name. John Wesley, Susan Wesley. Susan Wesley. Oh, what a saint of God. There's been some of the greatest. Phoebe Palmer. Is that her name? Yeah, Phoebe Palmer. Ever heard of her, Sister Phoebe? Oh, what a saint of God. What a godly woman. And she was right where I'm preaching this morning. She'd been to the cross and she'd allowed the grace of God to take hold of her and possess her and rule her thoughts and her mind and her life. And she was a glorious, wonderful soul winner. She could teach women the way of crucifixion and death and make soul winners out of them. Empathy. Say that word with me, would you? Empathy. How about saying the companion word, vicarious? Vicarious. Let me bear my family's sins. Let me bear my children's wayside troubles. Let me feel their pain. Does anybody want what I'm preaching this morning? Do you? Anybody want it? Are you willing? Do you really want to be a soul winner? Do you really want to help turn your world upside down? You want to see a Holy Ghost revival in Charlotte, North Carolina? You want us to really shake the city? I'm not putting down what we've done. It's wonderful. I just want to go deeper. I want to see a harvest. And I believe that this grace called emphasis. Well, I'm not saying it right. This grace called emphatic. Oh, what a grace. Empathy. I got it now. Empathy. Oh, the grace of empathy. The grace of vicarious. But there's another. I can't go too long here. Don't want to overdo my time. But look at the next one. Brokenness. Brokenness. Have you ever been broken? Do you know the church is full of people that's never been broken? Do you know what you got to do with an old horse before he's worth a hoot on the farm? How many know what you got to do to a horse? You got to break him. I don't want to be the one doing it. You've seen people ride horses to break them. Oh, it's a dangerous job. I wouldn't want it. It's probably just as dangerous what I'm doing this morning. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you that you need to be broken. I'm here to tell you that you're not going to be much good for God until you are broken. Until literally the inside, the whole consciousness of your person, the whole consciousness of your mind and your heart and your soul has got to come to a place that nothing matters but Him, that nothing counts but His grace, that nothing is wonderful but His sacrifice upon you, that you are literally broken. There's no stubbornness. The word we often use is contrite. Until you're contrite. Oh, God, make us contrite. Hey, you got to read that. Go with me to Isaiah 66 and verse 2. Isaiah 66, read it this week, and oh, I rejoiced in it. Isaiah 66 and verse 2. What a scripture. Listen, are you listening? It says, For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things hath been, saith the Lord. But to the man will I look. To the man will I look. To the man will I take conscious of. To the man I will begin to bless. To the man will I look. Notice now. To the man will I look. Even to him that is poor. That word poor don't mean money. It's talking about your person. Your personality. your way among men, your way among others, you never feel some kind of oaks to yourself. You never feel some kind of haughtiness about yourself. You never think of yourself as being so wise and so mighty. You never feel pride and haughtiness to the man that's poor. But it doesn't stop there. To the man that is poor, and to him, and of a contrite spirit. And listen, and trembleth at my word. And trembleth at my word. How long has it been since you heard the word of God and sat there trembling? I'm asking the Holy Ghost to do that right here this morning. I want you to tremble at the word of God. To that man will I look. That man will I look. That man that is poor in spirit. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Same thing. To this man will I look that is poor in spirit. And to the man who is contrite. And to the man who trembles at my word. I mean, when the word of God is poured out, I remember when I first got saved, all I wanted to do was hear preaching. I'd go to church and they'd sing and sing and shout. I'd love it and love it, love it. We couldn't wait for the preaching time. And when the preacher started preaching, I'm sitting there squalling. I want to tremble at the word of God. I want you to tremble at the word of God. I want you to tremble when God says, I want you broken. I want you contrite. I want you tender. Mocha little coffee. Raise a hand with me, will you? Got one more thing. I'm trying to hurry. Church, I'm here to tell you, God wants to give us souls. How many of you would be thrilled out of your shoes and socks if you saw 30 or 40 over there and 30 or 40 over here and very little room in here? How many of you would be thrilled? Let me see your hand. Would you be thrilled? You would, wouldn't you, Brother Bailey? Would you be thrilled? Well, I'm going to tell you that the gift of tears is the doorway to his visitation. Now listen to me. The gift of tears is the doorway to his visitation. And the doorway to his visitation and the gift of tears is to be completely compassionate and move with compassion. It is to be filled with empathy, where you care and you're willing to bear the burden and you're willing to hurt with somebody that hurts and you feel their load and you go home at night. Have you ever been home on Sunday night when it was a bad day and half the people wasn't here and you just felt miserable and you cried all night? Has anybody ever done that? You haven't? You haven't? Would that not be normal for us if we get hungry for revival? Is that when you see good people that didn't make it to the house of God and you knew they didn't have an excuse, they're just busy with this and busy with that? I talked with a man this week that loves to watch ball games on Sunday night, and he was all upset at me, talked kind of rough to me. And I said, sir, you don't understand that you're your own problem. It isn't us. It isn't me. I promise you, sir, it isn't me. I want to tell you something, folks. When you get compassionate and you get full of empathy, and then you pass through the realm of brokenness. How many of you are willing to ask God this morning to break you? Raise your hand if you are. To break you. Now I want you to know, when he gets through breaking you, you'll be a new person. And you'll be so blessed and you'll be such a blessing. Oh, this church will be so honored to just see you walk in those doors because you're broken and because there's something flowing out of you. The Holy Ghost does not flow through a spirit that has not been broken. The Holy Ghost does not flow through a spirit that has not been broken. There may be a little tingle. There may be a little bit of a shatter. But I'm telling you, the real power of the Holy Ghost will flow through you when you are broken. Are you hearing me? And I got to go further and finish. The next step is humility. Humility. The grace of humility. Can you think of anything more beautiful than the grace of humility? The grace of humility. You're looking at this old saint of God that says it's a woman, a lady, and she's been part of the church life, and you look at her. How many remember the missionaries that went to Peru? What was their names? Childers. Thank you. Hallelujah. Childress. How many remember Sister Childress? How many remember her? Church of God missionary, Brother Charles. One of the greatest. She's in a rest home out west now. Her husband died in the area of Peru. And we remember when we was in that building on Little Rock. And we didn't have nothing. We was in a gymnasium. Didn't have nothing. I said nothing. And we said, the Childress are going to Peru. Let's build a church in Peru before we start raising money to build Paul Cricket Church. Most of you didn't know this, did you? And we raised the money to build a church in Peru while we were still praying for God to help us find a place for us. We raised the money, every penny of it, and built a church in Peru for the Childress. Oh, what a blessing it was. What a blessing. Hallelujah. But that woman could stand up and start singing and playing that accordion. If you ever heard her, you felt the Holy Ghost when you heard her. There was grace flowing out of her. She was as capable and as talented as you could imagine, but as tender and so sweet and so full of grace. And she'd sing a little bit and play that accordion, and all of a sudden she's singing in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. She's singing in the Holy Ghost. Oh, your soul would get so stirred. See, we're talking about grace. We're talking about what God does in the human heart. We're not talking about what you do. Your righteousness is like a filthy rag. How many will admit that all your best is nothing but a filthy rag? That all your greatest expression of righteousness is a filthy rag? Until the Holy Ghost pours it in. And then he can pour it out again. Just a yielded vessel. That's all the Lord doth ask. For it's a yielded vessel. He'll use for any task. He wants to pour his spirit in. So he can pour it out again. Lord, make me a vessel in your kingdom. The gift of tears. God, you've been breaking on me and I'm not broken enough yet. So please, God, do it, God. Do it for every one of us in this family. God, this church needs a Holy Ghost awakening. We have got dozens of kids and our family is going to hell. We've got dozens of kids and hundreds even of school kids that have been in the classrooms of these buildings that we've had these years. And Father, they're lost. They're lost. They're lost. And nothing's going to bring them to you, Father, but somebody with the gift of tears. And that person with the gift of tears has got to have the graces of the Holy Ghost. Anybody feel the Holy Ghost in your heart moving this morning and you want God to get a hold of you? Anybody want the graces of God to become so real in you that you can have the gift of tears? That God can use you weeping for a dying, lost world? I love you, church. I love you. Tell somebody you love them around you. I love you, church. We love each other. I believe we are a loving group of people. I don't think there's a one. Even old Carlos, he's just got the sweetest old spirit about him. None but a teddy bear. I want him full of the Holy Ghost, Carlos. I love you, man. I love you. How many of you want to be so full of the Holy Ghost that the graces that I preached about this morning will flow from you? And we're going to pray for Sister Phoebe's dad in a moment. He's so, so sick. But God's a miracle worker. But I want us to be ready to pray for. I want to tell you something. Praying for the sick and seeing a miracle depends on the grace of God flowing through you. It's not some kind of faith you muster all of a sudden like a muscle in your right arm. No. The faith that really brings results is the faith that comes by the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's faith that comes because of God's hand upon you, God's hand over you. Would you stand with me, please, if you will join me in this closing moments. Brother Joe, I know you've got a song to sing, but do you mind singing Just a Yielded Vessel? That's all the Lord doth ask. Now, how many of you want to be a yielded vessel? You want to be a yielded vessel? Do you? Do you really? Are you listening to me? Anybody answering? Francis, God can use you in a marvelous way for Spanish people, as well as others, of course. You want him to, don't you? God work in Francis' life. Sister Stephanie, God wants to use your life. Hey, boys, God wants to use your life. Are you willing to be broken? Are you willing to have the stuffings knocked out of you? You ever heard that statement? The stuffings knocked out of you? Do you want the stuffings knocked out of you by the power of the Holy Ghost breaking you until the gift of tears? Sing. Everybody, help him.
Just a yielded vessel.
That's all.
That's all.
The Lord does ask.
The Lord would ask.
For it.
For it.
A yielded vessel.
A yielded vessel.
He'll use it for any task.
He'll use for any task.
He wants.
And he wants.
To pour.
To pour.
His Holy
his
Ghost.
Spirit in.
So he.
So he.
Can pour it out.
I love that.
I love that. Hallelujah. I want Holy Ghost power to flow through me, in me, through me, and out to others.
In your house.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just a cut to her. Somebody raise your hand and help me pray, will you? Every Holy Ghost filled vessel, raise your hand and help me pray. Help me pray. Come on, Holy Ghost filled vessels. Don't stand there unconcerned. Carry the burden with me, please. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Get a hold of that, dear brother. Hallelujah.
His spirit.
Oh, so he.
So he can pour.
While you're singing,
out again.
I want you to come quickly to the altar and stand here before God. Yield it. Oh, yes. I hope nobody will slip out the door.
Your house.
Hallelujah. Just a yielded vessel. Now give yourself to him.
Yielded.
My name may never be in lights on a marquee. The world may not applaud when I sing. I can be a light to a friend in the night. Then that's all that I desire to be.
So remind me, Lord, you called me. Though sometimes I may be weary, but if one soul is saved, it's worth it all. When I see those teardrops falling, then remind me of my calling, and may I never run. When I was just a child, I knew all the while you wanted me to preach, Lord, just for you. I can't count the miles, sometimes I get so tired, but after all you've done, it's the least that I can do. So remind me, Lord, you called me, though sometimes I may be weary, but if one soul is saved, it's worth it all. When I see those teardrops falling, then remind of my calling, and may I never run from the call. For the world out there is dying, full of lonely people crying.
You've chosen me to tell them about you. About you.
So remind me, Lord, you call me, though sometimes.
Yeah.
miracles.